I have good news for you today. Who could use a little good news? The last of the year. If you've got a Bible, turn in it to the book of Psalms, chapter 46. Psalm 46. This series has been one that's been on my heart, just mainly because during the winter, I have to find things to encourage myself. And one of my best sources is just going back to the Word of God. And I've found the Psalms to be one of those places that I can go if I'm having a good day or if I'm having a bad day. How many know both kinds of Psalms are in there? What I love about it is the honesty of it. Now, most of that we've been up into this season have been songs of confidence and singing about the God that is our fortress. I've got another one of those for you today. But this is a season in Israel's history that they were really discovering this relationship with the Lord, that as long as they put their faith in God, as long as He was their hope, as long as He was center in their life, that things were going to turn out okay. And so Psalm 46 is another one of those help or refuge psalms. And if you've got it, you can read it with me or you can read it from the screen. It says this in the first verse. It says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Brother, can you turn me down just a little bit? Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Listen to those word pictures. There was something in one of the songs that we sing that we're going to sing in the midst of the storm. Well, listen to what he talks about. Even if the earth was to give way and the mountains were thrown into the sea, that's a metaphor of our whole world coming apart. I don't know if I could have told you a year ago that I could ever imagine what the world would be going through with health and the economy and all of those things all at the same time. But I remember many years back when 9/11 happened. So that's almost 19 years ago, is it? And the manager from Walmart called me. And she said, would you come and speak to our workers? I said, man, this is an unusual thing. I've never been invited to preach at Walmart before, have you? And they said, you know, there are just a lot of people that are struggling, people that are upset. And several of the staff just wanted to know if one of the pastors could come and just give us a word of encouragement. And so that's a rare opportunity. Never happened before and has never happened since. But I asked the Lord for a word and he gave me Psalm 46. And I just read these words. Think of this. After the people had seen the towers fall and they were afraid and everybody was distraught, churches were packed that next Sunday. I have to tell you, it was probably one of the greatest attendance Sundays of any time outside of Easter for churches all across the country. Just like it was, by the way, when the pandemic broke out. I don't know if you knew this, but a lot of numbers spiked way up during that time, not only with things going online. But I said, Lord, give me a word of encouragement. And I just wanted to tell him, God is our refuge and our strength. He's an ever-present help when there's trouble. No matter what happens, no matter what falls apart, he's the one thing that stays secure in our life. Anybody say amen? Say amen. You're in church, you can say amen. And I can hear you if you say it at home, by the way. So go ahead and shout it out if you hear something that you agree with. But then he says this, and I want to come back to what he's talking about. He says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. Both of those are parallel lines to talk about Jerusalem. During King Hezekiah's time, Jerusalem was almost like a magical city to them. But they understood it not just because of the city itself, but because that God himself dwelt there. He chose Jerusalem as the place to come and meet with his people. And so Jerusalem was seen as impenetrable. Nobody could get inside the walls. The temple is where he lives. Now, when you and I read this today, we see all these things of symbols of our relationship with the Lord, right? So we know God doesn't just live in one city, in one part of the world. He lives within his people. And so you and I together as the church, we are the city of God. And God dwells inside of us, and it's his presence that is that stream of grace. Wherever we are, no matter where we meet, whether it's online or in person, God is within us. Anybody with me? And so he goes on in this psalm extolling God's blessing upon Jerusalem. He says that God is within her. She shall not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Hallelujah. Amen. He goes on to say, come and see what the Lord has done. The desolations he has brought on the earth. That's on the other countries, namely the Assyrians that were coming down to attack them and then eventually had to go back because they couldn't get into the city. He says he makes wars cease. To the ends of the earth, he breaks the bow and he shatters the spear. Then he burns the shields with fire. You know what that is? It's a beautiful verse about how God eventually is the one that brings about lasting peace. Eventually, the sword and the shield of this COVID virus is going to be done. We're going to be dancing around it and singing songs about how it used to be here and now we've been delivered. Just like God delivered us from our sin. Spiritually, he is our deliverer. But he's also the one that brings lasting peace in our life. And then he says one of the most amazing phrases in all of the Bible. And maybe you didn't know it was in the midst of one of these psalms that sing about the protection of the Lord. But he says this. Now this one you have to read with me. Say it with me, would you? He says, be still and know that I am God. Say it with me again. Be still and know that I am God. I'm up to about 50%. You want to try it again? Be still and know that I am God. It just dawned on me. Maybe I don't know. Maybe you are, Sam, but you've got a mask on, so I can't see your lips moving. He says, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Not just the fact that he gave us a fortress, but that God himself is our fortress. And so here's this beautiful phrase. Just be still. You don't have to do all of the work. You don't have to fight for it. You don't have to contend. There's a day to fight and contend. Don't get me wrong. There's a day where we got to really put our back into it. There's something right and proper about working hard and something right and proper about fighting the good fight and standing up for a good cause. But there's moments in time, friends, when after we've done everything that we're supposed to do, what's left is just to be still. It's just to sit back and let God do what he does. We can't control everything in our life, but God's got it in his hand. You know, during this season, there have been a lot of opportunities for just quietness, except if you're in my household, because that means there's four teenagers that never leave the house. But other than that, there have been times for all of us where it can't just be about all of our time with our friends. It can't be with just going to the store all the time or going out to restaurants. There's been a whole lot of time for us just to be quiet and just to listen to the Lord. I'll never forget, it didn't snow this year, but my brother keeps sending me texts because he lives in Cleveland and they got a bunch of snow on Christmas. Lucky. But I remember being a kid, walking home from school one night, and the first time that I realized how quiet snow was. It started snowing on the way home, so by the time I got home, there was about 3 inches. And it was just soft powder. And nobody had driven on it yet. I lived kind of in a suburban neighborhood. I was walking down the street and it was just getting kind of dark, kind of dusk. And so I just remember the quietness of the snow. I could look up in the lamps and see it falling down through the lamps. I could look in and all of the houses had their lights on. And so just everything being blue on the outside and looking in through the windows where everything was warm and golden. And as I walked home, I began to sing to myself, and I noticed something. You ever notice when you're walking in the snow, you can't hear yourself? The snow absorbs all that like a sound absorber, and so it just gets so quiet. I just remember one of those rare moments in my childhood where I just felt so close to the Lord, one of those moments that I just really experienced his presence because there was nothing else. I sang all the way home. And just remember that time. It's one of those moments, you know, even if you tried to go back and recreate it, you could never capture it again. But I just remember that time of just hearing the silence. Does that make sense? Of just experiencing that, what it means, just to be alone with the Lord and just to have him in my life. And friends, there are times like this, whatever else the psalmist was going through and the war that was raging on about him, and he just reminds himself with this phrase, here's what the Lord said to me. The Lord gave me a word. Be still and know that I am God. Just allow him to be God in our life, that we don't have to be so anxious about it because he's got it in his hands. Amen? Well, so I want to talk to you this morning about what it means to know God. Not just to know about him, but to know him. Do you all know Joe Biden? Well, you know who he is, but you don't know him. Anybody does know him? That would be kind of special. Oh, does anybody know Enes Kanter? He's back on the Blazers now. About a year and a half ago, I saw him in an airport, believe it or not. Early in the morning, it was just after he helped us win the playoffs. And it was so early in the morning, nobody was in line for their tickets. But me, and I looked in front of me, and there's a tall guy who turns around. It's Enes Kanter, center for the Blazers. I said, Enes, like I knew him. And he looked up at me like, Mike. No, he didn't say Mike. I said, Enes. And he looked at me, and he says, hi. And I said, thank you for saving our season, because he really did. Our center got hurt. We wouldn't have made it without him. But I said, can I take a picture? And I took a fuzzy picture, and I forgot to bring it. But it's true. You know that because all my stories are true. If you want, I'll show it to you later. But there was Enes Kanter. I kept looking at him, and I said, boy, I hope he was in first class. And he was, because he's a tall guy. But, you know, there's a difference. I think I know him because I watch him play basketball. I saw him last night. He did great. I think I know him, but he doesn't know me. We don't have a mutual relationship. But when the Bible says, be still and know that I am God, he's talking about something that goes both ways. Not only does God know us, but we can know him. It's not just knowing about him. So I'm not asking you if you know who God is or who Jesus is. I'm asking you, do you know him? Do you have a relationship with him? Jesus says in the Gospels, there's a lot of people that are going to come on that day and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all of these things for you? And he says, he's going to turn to them and say, behold, I didn't know you. It's a strange verse for a God that knows everything, right? But he wasn't saying he doesn't know who they are. He said, yes, but it wasn't about all the busyness of all the religious things that you could do. What he really wants is just the relationship with you, to know him. The Bible uses that verse in the sense of a knowledge between a husband and a wife, an intimacy, that they knew each other. So I'm asking you this morning, do you know the Lord? You say, I don't know how you can know the Lord. Well, I want to talk about it for a little bit. First thing is that we know him because he is that ever-present help. God is my refuge and God is my strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Ever-present is just one word in the Hebrew. It means that it's just right there. You don't have to go looking for it like you have to go looking for the clicker because the kids hide it all the time. It's just right there. Every time you need it, you reach out and he's right there. How many have discovered something about the Lord that whenever you need him, he's right there? He's ever present. He's not far away. You don't have to drum him up. You don't have to beg him to come. You don't have to yell at him. He can hear. He can hear every single prayer. And so when I was growing up in the Lord, I remember just asking that question. After having said a prayer and after giving my heart to the Lord, just saying, Lord, how do you ever know for sure? How do I know that I'm saved? Even still, I know people that have been walking with the Lord for many years that will ask me this question. Pastor Mike, how do I know? Because I have doubts every once in a while. And it's so important for us to remember that God didn't save us because somehow we earned it, because we asked him into our heart, put our faith in him, and then we did X, Y, and Z, and then we did these 10 steps, and then we followed all of these things. Friends, there's a lot of things that we can do, and if we're not careful, we pile up the list on each other of expectations where it makes it impossible for anybody to be saved. But in 1 John, he writes to us and he says, this is how we know that we belong to the truth and that we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. I like how he says this. This is how we know that we belong to the truth. You can know it. I remember when I was a kid, they used to have a lot of Christian rock and roll concerts. Do you remember those? They still have them every once in a while. They have to do them in a gymnasium or stuff. They used to just do them in movie theaters and school gymnasiums. And I loved it when I was growing up. And just all of these great bands that would come through. And every one of them had an altar call at the end of it. I cannot tell you how many times I got saved. I just had a tender heart. And the preacher got up there and started preaching. Who is anybody? Do you have any doubts at all in your mind if you're going to heaven or if you're saved? And I said, I always have doubts. Who wants to come down to the altar? I'd be down there. I've been saved at least 50 times. Over and over until finally I was at a concert and somebody stood up and said, you know, if you've already asked the Lord into your heart, you don't need to keep getting saved. I said, you don't? He said, no. He said, let me talk to you about something called the grace of the Lord. We're saved by his grace. By the way, friends, you want to come and get saved every Sunday, be my guest. There's nothing ever wrong with rededicating your life or committing to the Lord the things that you've already committed to him. But if it's because you're walking in fear, somehow that you haven't lived up to your expectations or somebody else's expectations, that you're in and that you're out and that you're in and that you're out, I want to tell you right now, God loves you right where you are. But he's still working on me, Pastor Mike. Oh, good news. He's still working on me too. But we're saved by grace, and it's because of his love that we're saved. We give our hearts to him, and even when our hearts condemn us, the Bible says, even when our heart says, you're worthless, you don't live up, you don't measure up, even when we begin to put ourselves down, God says, listen, I know everything that's going on in your life, and I know that you belong to me. You're my child. I haven't forgotten about you. My love is not conditional on how you're doing today. Anybody say amen? Say amen. And so one of the things that became important in my life over the long haul, if we're going to make it that long, is sooner or later, is to fall in love with the Word of God. That's why it's important to go to a church that preaches from the Word of God. It's why I have so many verses. I want you to know that I don't just come to preach Mike's opinion. I come to share the Word of God. And it's important, too, that we know you don't have to wait to come to church or listen to a preacher, but you've got a Bible. Most of you have a Bible right on your phone. There's no excuse. Crack it open. Check out what's inside. Find a pattern of daily devotionals. God gave us his word to sustain us when everything else fails. And so in 1 John chapter 5, he says, would you read it with me? He says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you might what? That you might know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. We can have confidence and we can know. Why? Not because I'm perfect or because I'm so righteous or so holy. And by the way, kids, I am very holy. I tell my kids that all the time because I have to remind them. But part of what's important for me is when I come back to the Word of God and it reminds me of how I was saved in the first place and what it is that God does in my life. He is an ever-present help in times of trouble. Can't tell you how many seasons in my life that I went through something tough and it was something that I had read that week in my devotionals that God used. And the Bible says that that he'll send us the Holy Spirit. And you say, well, we have the Holy Spirit. Why do we need God's word? Because Jesus says the Holy Spirit reminds us of everything that he taught us. So let me ask you, how can he remind you of stuff you've never heard before? And so whatever it is and however you do it, most Bible apps have a daily devotional plan. We have one on our website. So you can go right on the website. There's a little place there that says daily devotionals. If you click on that every day, you'll read the whole Bible once and the New Testament twice in 2021. And if you get behind, don't worry about it. Don't add it as another guilt pressure trip or anything like that. Just go to that day and start reading. Ask the Lord to speak to you. He can speak to you even out of some of the bizarre stories in the Old Testament, some of the places that are harder to understand. You ever have a question? Email Pastor Mike. He loves answering those kind of emails. Just be prepared for a long technical answer with lots of verses behind it. But you ever have a question about a verse, just email me. But there's something so healthy about just having a time where you can just feed and God can feed you. Part of how we get to know him is we get to know his word. Anybody say amen? Say amen. What better New Year's resolution is it than that? Well, get in shape, get back to reading my Bible. Anybody say amen? All right. Number two is this. He says, there is a river that makes glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She shall not fall. God will help her at the break of day. That next verse is about this ever-flowing source that comes. Just as there was a river that kept Israel alive, and I'll talk about it in a moment, that he's saying to us, as long as he is on the inside, that nothing can get to us. Nothing can take away the love of the Lord as long as he lives in our life. As long as his help is on the inside, we'll not fail on the outside. The most important place is to be concerned about how my heart is doing and my relationship with the Lord. Can I read you a verse from Isaiah? And this is just because it's my humble opinion that many of these psalms that have to do with the refuge and the city of Jerusalem being their protection came about during the time of the prophet Isaiah and King Hezekiah. But here's a verse of Hezekiah speaking to the city itself. And he says, you built a reservoir between the two walls, the water of the old pool, and you did not look to the one who made it or have regard to the one who planned it long ago. About four or five places in the Old Testament, not only in history, but here in Isaiah, it talks about this spring and this channel that was within the city walls. You know, one of the coolest things about it is whenever COVID breaks and we can go back to Israel, I want to visit this tunnel. But underneath the city of Jerusalem, there is a tunnel. Did you know this? It's called by many different names, the Siloam Tunnel, because it ends in the Pool of Siloam down in the city of David. It's also called the Hezekiah's Tunnel. That's famously on the maps what they call it now. Why? Because it was built during the time of King Hezekiah. And so they have dated it. They've done biological datings. They've done all sorts of things. Plus, there's a plaque that is written in Paleo Hebrew that talks about how they made it. But it's dug right through the stone. And so picture this. Jerusalem is on a mountain. It's a mountain fortress. And then it had these massive walls. That's why it was so impenetrable. But it only has one water source, the spring of Gihon. And that water source originated outside of the city walls. And so all throughout their history, they've been trying to protect it. Because what happens if an army like the Assyrians laid siege to Jerusalem and then cuts off their water source? You don't have any water, you don't last long. And so at some point, they were smart enough to put a tower around it and protect it. But Hezekiah not only did that, but he dug a tunnel. And the inscription says they dug it from both sides through solid rock, and they met in the middle. And get this, anybody that's a builder or an engineer, it's 583 yards long. That's almost the length of two football fields. And it snakes like a river like this underground. And from one end to the other, it drops 12 inches. Just amazing. That water was that fresh water source inside. And Hezekiah built it in preparation for the Assyrians to come down and to lay siege. And so that even if they laid siege, they would always have fresh water. And there's this psalm. There is a river that makes glad the city of God, the holy place where his Most High dwells. God is within her. She shall not fall. And so many historians think that there's a little bit of an allusion, at least, not only to the fact that they had a water source on the inside, but just like that water source, God was the spiritual source for Jerusalem. God was that river on the inside. That as long as they had him on the inside, no matter what comes around them, they will not fall. Isn't that a wonderful story? You look so excited for me explaining that to you. But there's something about this verse that just reminds me, every time I'm in one of those situations, that it seems like all of the circumstances in my life are not working out. Things are coming down around my ears. I have a failure. I make a mistake. Or things just get bad. The weather gets bad. It gets dark on the outside. I remember this verse. There's a river that makes glad the city of God. There's a river. There's a Holy Spirit on the inside of me that no matter what's going on the outside of the wall, he's on the inside. And as long as he's on the inside, I don't have anything to fear. How many are with me so far? Say amen. What he's talking about, I believe, the psalmist is talking about something much larger than just a canal that was built to bring in fresh water. He was talking about the presence of the Lord. God is within her. She shall not fall. And so Jesus promised us too, that he would send his presence, that the Holy Spirit would come and abide with us no matter what was going on in our life, that he'd never leave us, he'd never forsake us, that he would not abandon us. Friends, if there's just even one person that just feeling abandoned today, feeling isolated or cut off, feeling like nobody cares, or just really bemoaning the fact that we are so cut off just because of circumstances right now, I want to remind you of something. As long as the Holy Spirit is in your heart, is in your life, you're never completely alone. Friends, I know there's a place for human companionship too. There's a time and a place that we need to reach out to somebody that's cut off. But even when we're in seasons where we get isolated, it's that as long as we have God's presence in our life, we're going to make it. Jesus said to his disciples, would you read it with me? He said, and he's talking about the Holy Spirit. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be, what? In you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. We can know him. Why? Because he is with us and he lives in us. I want to ask you if you have the presence of the Lord living in your life. Is he just somebody that you visit once in a while, or is he taking up residence in your heart? Does he stay there? Is he a permanent resident? Does he have that kind of relationship with you where he can be your very present help? Because he's just as far away as you just make yourself aware of him and begin to open up your heart to him. You know, there are a lot of people that are frustrated, and I know this season has really taxed everybody's patience and their nerves. And to make it all worse, we had a presidential election in the middle of it. And for some, it's still not quite over. But it just stirred up all this anxiety, and people in the same families, you know, disagreeing about whether or not to get together or whether or not to wear a mask. If I'm talking about your family, don't worry. You're not alone. It's in every single family. We're all having to figure it out and to wrestle through it. And I just can't wait till it's not even something that we have to think about anymore. Are you with me? And so I know there are people that are upset. Even in some states, they can't meet at all, or in some counties. We've been actually, I think, very blessed. We've actually got more room here for people to come than are ready to come. And so even in one service, we are well under the numbers prescribed by the state of Oregon. So there's really no limit that's been placed on us. But I know all over the country, in some places, churches have just been in outright rebellion. And you might feel like that yourself. And no matter what the state says, we're going to get together and no, we're not going to wear a mask and all of these things. And, you know, we're not going to let the government oppress you. And I just think to myself, you know, there really has throughout the centuries been oppression. There have been times that the church has been persecuted. There have been times that the church people were put to death. That if you were caught worshiping or celebrating, you would be put to death. You know, in the early church, they didn't have churches to meet in. Some people come to me and they say, why don't we meet in the biblical way like they did in the New Testament church where they all met in homes? I said, yeah, that's because they weren't allowed to own property in Rome. Did you know that? The law in the Roman Empire, Christians did not have protected status. You couldn't own property, so they had to meet in homes. That was their only option. As soon as Constantine made it legal for you to be a Christian, they started building churches. That's why there's no churches older than that. So more people could come. So it's nothing wrong with meeting in your home or in a church, but I'm just so grateful that we live in this free country. There have been moments in time that you couldn't. I remember back in the heydays of the communist era, and it's still like this in some places, but I remember hearing missionaries tell stories about people that you'd have one Bible between about eight families, and they would bury it under the floor of their house, and they would get together by candlelight in the middle of the night and dig it up and read it. It was so precious to them to be able to have their Bible and then close it up and hide it again, because if the government found it, they would burn it. I said, friends, we're not to that point, are we? Nobody's busted into my house and tried to take away my Bibles. I'm just saying this. I'm not saying this isn't lousy and I'm not tired of the mass just like everybody else. But when it comes to persecutions, if they live through that, can't we live through this? Don't you think we can make it? I think we can. And there's light at the end of the tunnel. We know it's not forever. And so I just say, Lord, if I want to make it through the really tough things in my life, if this is a season for me just to get a little tougher in my faith, I'll take it. We really are going to make it, friends. Amen. We're going to get there. Thank you for wearing your mask. We're keeping people safe. We've been praying for those that are sick in our church, and they're getting better every day. Praise God. I'm just bound and determined to get through this whole thing, so far as it depends on me, that nobody in my church gets sick from coming to church. Amen. And if you can't see it on the camera, by the way, I only take off my mask when I'm preaching, and then there's nobody within about 20 feet of me. I can't even spit that far. And so anyway, the last thing is he says this, and what a beautiful thing. It builds up because the psalmist is talking about an end to the wars. He says he breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. And then he says, be still and know that I am God. The last thing is it's reminding of an everlasting peace. And you know that Bible word, shalom, means peace. It means prosperity. It means happiness and joy. It means friendship. That God would restore an everlasting shalom. Isn't that a great prayer to end 2020? I'm praying for the return of shalom in 2021. God's peace that rules and reigns. And he says just this. Be still and know that I am God. That word be still is Rapha in Hebrew. You know what it means? It's not like Jehovah Rapha. It's a different word. You know what Rapha means? Relax. Chill out. That's the Bible word for chill out. Just chill. In Spanish, we say tranquilo. They say that to me a lot when I'm down there because I'm always so uptight. Tranquilo, hermano. Tranquilo. I say, okay, cálmate. Relax. Calm down. You don't have to be so uptight. The Bible says, relax. I got it. Just relax and remember that I'm your God. Isn't that a great word for somebody today? You know what I found? It's when I am able to. Just relax. And remember God is on his throne. It's in those quiet times that I learn how to listen to the voice of the Lord. Do you remember the prophet Elijah in the Old Testament? He was a great prophet. He really was. He was the one that went up on Mount Carmel and challenged 450 prophets of Baal. And then he prayed and the fire fell from the sky. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. I haven't done that anytime lately. I can't make fire come out of the sky. Elijah was a great man of God. And what I also love about his story is it also tells us that he was also very insecure. And he had bouts of depression. Shortly after that great victory, he finds himself sitting under a tree and he says, God, just take me out. He goes, they're all against me. They're all trying to kill me. He said, just take me home. And so even great people of God have moments like that of anxiety. And so God spoke to him. He says, you know what you need? You need a revelation of me. He says this to Elijah. After everything Elijah had seen, he says, you know what you need? You need a revelation of me. I'm going to do you a favor, Elijah. I'm going to do something that I haven't done to hardly anybody in the Old Testament. I'm going to show you myself. I'm going to reveal myself to you. So he takes him up onto a high mountain. And at first there's this big violent wind, you know, just like they would in the movies if God was to appear, right? This big violent wind. But this famous verse in 1 Kings 19 describes it. And he says, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. Say it with me. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, what? A still small voice. I love that picture. We're always looking for God to part the clouds and do some miracle to let us know that he's real. But he doesn't come in the whirlwind. He doesn't come in a fire. He doesn't come in an earthquake. You know how he comes? In a still, small voice. You got to lean in. It's not that he doesn't want to talk to you, but you got to lean in and listen. You got to be quiet. If you're one of those that, like me, and has a hard time not having music or radio or TV on all the time, said, God doesn't speak to me very much. That's because you're never quiet. Just listen every once in a while, and he will speak to you. Lean in. So part of what this pandemic has done is it's taught us all how to have times where we could just be quiet. You know, just like I mentioned last week, that this is going to be remembered as the Christmas season that wasn't so busy. It's also going to be one of the quietest, don't you think? One of those seasons where we just got to be alone with the Lord. Can I show you a movie clip? And you're going to be surprised, because it's not a Christmas movie, and it's not even a kid movie. It's a soldier movie. But I kept thinking of the scene. I couldn't get it out of my head. And so when that happens, I just go with it. And so Molly is really into the pandemic. She loves to watch gangster movies. You watch any of those? Anything that has narco traffickers in it, she'll watch it, especially if it's in another language. She's not a violent person. She's against drugs. But for some reason, if it has El Chapo or Pablo Escobar in it, she's all over it. I got to watch it. She tells me it's because she's working on her Spanish, but I don't think I want her saying some of those words. I think she just likes the action. And so there was a movie, and just because I show a clip doesn't mean I recommend the movie. I just said it's a movie about the war on drugs and the things happening down on the border with Mexico. And it's part of this movie, whether or not you've seen it, it's called Day of the Soldado, which is Day of the Soldier. There is a soldier that's in this war, and he's working for the CIA, but he goes after, they rescue a young teenage girl who is the daughter of one of the heads of the cartels. And there's a whole battle scene that takes place, and she runs off into the desert, and so this soldier runs after her and finally finds her, but they find themselves at night and looking for some shelter. And in the midst of this loud, action-filled movie, there's a very quiet moment that happens that's one of my favorite that I've seen in a movie all year. So just watch this for a second. I think you'll see what I mean.
Buenos días y perdonen la molestia. Estamos perdidos. No hay que tener miedo.
Sí. Oh. Nosotros
reason I wanted to show you, and if you could just imagine without knowing the whole plot, how much of the plot and that character was explained just in a couple of minutes. And come to find out later on, the actor Benicio del Toro in that scene, actually ad-libbed that whole scene. It wasn't in the original script because he had somebody that was deaf in his own family. But here we found out that the reason he was protecting this young girl, even though it was her father, the head of the cartel, that was responsible for the death of his family. But he's reaching out to rescue her because he knows that she didn't have anything to do with it. And it reminded him of his own daughter and his own loss. It was powerful for me just because here in the midst of this loud movie with all of this action, the most powerful moment happened very quietly. It happens in those still moments. Sometimes the biggest words God has given to me, they're very small. It's kind of ironic I said a big word's very small. But it's just like this. Some of the most important words God has given me are things like, take the deal. I said, got it. That's all I needed. Three words, take the deal. One time years ago, Molly and I were talking about an issue on the way home, and as soon as we pulled the car into the driveway, we looked at each other and we knew what the answer was. He gave us the same word all at the same time. We looked at each other and said at the same time, we need to grow up. Sometimes he speaks to us just through somebody else or through his word, but it happens in those still moments. He says to King Hezekiah, sometimes you got to let all of the dust settle out and just listen to the voice of the Lord. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, Paul says to Timothy, his disciple, that is why I'm suffering as I am, yet this is no cause for shame, because what? I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he's able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. There's a song like that. You remember that old song? I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. That's the King James Version. We might not know everything. We don't know the end of it. But God can even use the tragedies, the difficult parts in our time, to speak to us and to do something deeper in our life. And even though we might not know all of the answer, the most important thing is that we know the Lord. Be still and know that I am God. I've got you. And as long as I'm in your life, you have nothing to fear. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me for a moment? Father God, Lord, as we go into 2021, we just dedicate it to you. I pray, Lord God, that even in the stillness, Lord God, you would continue to speak to us. Lord, even when we're alone, Lord, that you would remind us of your companionship, your fellowship with us. And Lord, we're praying once, Lord, that this next year in 2021 would be a better year. Lord, that there will be an outpouring of health and your prosperity on our nation and unity, camaraderie, that we would come together, that the church would be reunited. Lord, that the gospel would go out, that more than ever the church would be at a place to shine the light bright as we reach out to those that are in need. And today I just pray, Lord God, for each and every one of our households. Lord, may your blood be over our doorposts. Lord, may you honor yourself and glorify yourself. Reveal yourself to anybody in our household that yet does not know you yet. Even though they might know about you, but Lord, there's anyone that still has yet to come into that relationship with the Lord, that they would invite you in. We ask it all in Jesus' name, Jesus' name. And friends, can I just ask you, if there's even one person here today that needs to just rededicate their life to the Lord, or maybe you know about God, but you've never asked him to take up residence in your heart, be the Lord of my life, be my Lord and my Savior. If you would like to say that to him and just open up and invite him into your life today, then just say this prayer with me, would you? Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart today. Be my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me clean and write my name in the book of life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen. Hallelujah. If you said that prayer for the first time, let somebody know. If you're a kid and you ever say that prayer for the first time, let your mom and dad know. Don't ever feel afraid. I said, my parents probably already thought I was saved. That was my first time. They're going to be thrilled with you. Anytime you make a decision or you say a prayer commitment, it just makes their heart happy. And I love you so much. I can't wait to see you again in person. It's going to happen soon. But until then, just stay home and stay safe. And we'll get together online. Amen. Lord bless you. And I'll see you next year.